What's up, y'all? It's your boy Vibes Vibre, because I'm always bringing you the good vibes, and you're tuned in to and 5678 the podcast, where we discuss everything dance industry related beyond the steps.
You're tuned into In 5678 the podcast with Vibes by Bray, only on YouTube, broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
Today, I have dancer Brooklyn Janae. Y'all give it up for Brooke.
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing today, Brooke?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, for one, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I know my girl's booked.
A little bit.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So can you give us a little background about who Brooklyn Janae is?
Yes, Brooklyn Janae is this big ball of energy. It all started, I'm going to be so cliche and say it started when I was like, you know, I always say at a young age, but literally, that's when it started. I pretty much knew who I was at a young age. I knew what I wanted to do. And I would say, like, if you look up the word energy in the dictionary, that's Brooklyn Janae. So just to give a little bit of a brief description of who I am, energy.
When we get to this part, you can't tell me nothing. I be beefing it up. I be feeling like Beyonce on that one interview when she was playing pool with that one dude and she had beat him and she did that one little dance. So I tried to do it on stage in front of everybody.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And so you don't just dance though, right?
No. I sing, I voice act, I choreograph, I'm into photography and film. I went to school for film. I studied all of that. So that is, I like to call myself a master of all things, even though I'm mastering everything as we speak. I think that it's important to just be, find a lot of different things that you can tap yourself into and figure out what works for you and expand on that. So with the singing, with the dancing, with the voice acting, I've had a lot of people tell me that, like, your voice, like, your voice sounds so cute. Like, what do you do? So I've tried to maximize any and everything that I can when it comes to vocal ability. So outside of dance, I master my singing, I master my voice acting. And I feel like if I can combine the two, you never know what can come up out of it. So
it's giving Beyonce.
Come on. I'm trying to get at that level.
Yeah, it's giving Beyonce for sure. I'm here for it. Yes, we love multiple bags. Like, it's important, especially as dancers. You need to be able to do pretty much anything, or not anything, or whatever it is that you want to do. Because if we put all our eggs in one basket, what good is that gonna do? Because what happens when dance runs dry?
Then you're out of luck, you know?
Yeah, out of luck.
You have to be more than just one dimensional. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but there are some people that, at least right now in their journey, they are one dimensional because they're figuring out what part of dance works for them. But while they're doing that, they're also taking the time to dibble and dabble in other things that may work for them, or something that they might find fun outside of dance. It could be a hobby, or it could be some type of career that they want to embark on. So for me, I knew that being a creative is something that I can't just run away from. It always finds me. So outside of dance, I have the urge to always create with singing, with writing music, with creating new characters, creating animation. So it's something that's always been in me. And I think the more that I take the time to water it, the more I find out new things about myself every day, you know?
Yes, for sure. What ultimately sparked that interest for the creative realm for you?
Ooh, I would really have to say my grandfathers, both of them. They have both long gone and passed, but they still hold a deep, deep memory within inside of me. And I really feel like that's where my creative interest has sparked. Both of my grandfathers sang. One was in the leader of a band, and one was the leader and a deacon of a church. So I had both of those being showcased throughout my entire childhood. So obviously that inspired me to start singing. And even with singing, I noticed that my voice was different very early on. I used to get bullied in school saying, oh, you sound like a Disney character. You sound like a animated character. And I still get told that till this day, like, you're so animated.
You but are, though. You're definitely animated.
But you know, it works. It works. It makes me me. And I exactly feel like the more you're true to yourself about what makes you you, that in itself can take you so far.
See, there it goes. I have to highlight this because every single person that has been on here, that's what they said. They said, be true to yourself.
Yes. You have to. Yeah. It's like, what is the point in being what someone else already is? Like, God made you you for a reason. So why not figure out what you can do and take full advantage of it? Like, come on, you have to.
And that's going to make you shine. Like, especially with doing different auditions, with doing gigs, with just meeting new people, networking. When you're yourself, that you can, no one can take that away from you. And that makes people notice you before anything else, is when you're authentic to who you are.
You said it perfectly.
Definitely. So can you tell us a little about where you're from?
I am from a small town called Kalamazoo, Michigan. Nobody has probably ever heard of it, but there is.
You said Kalamazoo?
Kalamazoo, yes.
Spell it.
K-A-L-A-M-A-Z-O-O. We call it the zoo.
The zoo. Okay.
It's a super, super small city. We always say that when people think of Michigan, they automatically think of Detroit, Saginaw, or Flint. But Kalamazoo is pretty much the halfway point between 2 hours east to Detroit and 2 hours west to Chicago. I like to always say that I went to the high school that Derek Jeter went to.
Gotcha.
Kalamazoo Central High School. So we have a few big names that come from the city and that also went to Western Michigan University, which is where I graduated from. Luther Vandross, a couple people from Home Improvement, the TV show. So we've got a couple cute,
you know,
coming from my city, but I rep it so hard because I want to be able to say that one day, like, you know, you don't, it doesn't matter where you're from. You could be from the smallest city, but it's going to be you that makes it out and inspires those that are still there. Why not be that person?
Exactly. Now, in Kalamazoo, would you say that it was a place for a creative like yourself? Were there many outlets for you to be able to nurture your craft?
No. I felt like, when I was in middle school and high school, there were a lot of people wanting to dance and wanting to be creative and just in the film itself. But I feel like I had to be the outlet for my own self because I didn't have anyone to reach out to look up to. Everybody else was in LA or New York or Atlanta for that matter. But I had to really start from the beginning, teach my own self how to dance, take classes around fifth, sixth grade, and then later take classes in Detroit where I gathered a bunch more training and really be that fatherly, motherly figure for myself when it comes to the field. It was very hard. I didn't have anyone to look up to and no one understood it. No one understood where this passion and this hunger was coming from. But I knew deep down in my heart, like, I knew that this is something that I want to do. So I studied it every day. I watched documentaries. I watched I put myself in the most uncomfortable positions by dancing at a pep rally by myself, by dancing in talent shows by myself, doing things on my own to really put myself out there so that way, now when I'm in these auditions, it kind of brings a sense of memory back to where I first had that hunger and what I was really striving for now. So no, I think right now I would have to say myself and a couple of others that really took the initiative to move out to LA and New York are really the last few out of Kalamazoo that are really doing what we love and inspiring those back at home.
Yeah. Now, and I'm glad that you said that you made yourself uncomfortable, because I do want to add, when you're in an uncomfortable position, it stretches you in a way that you don't know that you can be stretched. Exactly. And once you reach that level, it's one of those things that if I make myself look like a fool, if I look crazy or somebody doesn't like it, guess what? at least I push myself, at least I challenge myself. And then I know going forward what I can do differently or what I did from that moment that elevated me. So I'm glad that you shared that.
I always say that I'm comfortable with failing in front of other people.
Yes.
And when I say failing, I view the word failing as being uncomfortable, trying mm-hmm. something new and stretching myself. Because if I had not have done that when I first started taking heels classes and stepping in a heel in Detroit, mm-hmm. I probably would not be where I am right now. I probably would have given up and just would have stuck with one genre of dance. But what is the point of that when there are so many other genres to be great at? And I knew for me, and still to this day, I want to be great at any and everything. I mm-hmm. did not have the time to water any and everything, but the 30 minutes to an hour that I can put in for each genre, vocal warm-ups, practicing and figuring out how to stretch my voice and my tone and my range and anything with voice animation or singing, you have to just play with it. And you never know where it can lead you. You never know who may see you. You never know who may be interested in working with you. So mm-hmm. I always put myself in uncomfortable positions. And I got laughed at. I got talked about all the time. But at that age, I didn't care so much about what people thought. And still to this day, I still don't care what people think, because a lot of those people are wanting to do the things that a lot of people find comfort in being uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. So why you have to set those examples for people, not just for people, but for yourself.
Exactly. Now, you said that you did a lot of training in Detroit, correct?
Yes.
Well, who are some people that you trained under out there?
I trained under Devon Ballinger, who is also known as Official Believe under 3 or something like that on Instagram. But he was the main person that I went to and saw out for training. I also knew who Alana Phillips is. We went to Western Michigan University together.
Okay.
We both danced on 2 different hip hop teams. They were like RSO organizations at the school. And I knew that she would constantly tell me to come to class, come train with us, come sit over by us. You need to learn. You need to be over here with us. And I knew that mm-hmm. if I keep hearing that from you, that's a sign from God. Like, okay, let me get my tail back over here and start training. So I left Vegas in 2019. And that's a whole nother story. But I left Vegas in 2019 and I went up to Devon and I was like, I want to start training with you. He was like, get my number from Alana. We'll go from there. From there, I started taking classes in heels, learning what a bevel is, learning how to stand, learning my confidence, learning my presence in a heel. And even though I was already equipped with hip hop, I was able to incorporate a lot of that when it comes to dancing in a heel. So mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for him, because a lot of people don't see it, and a lot of people are seeing it now, but how well and how much he pushes his girls within his company. And I'm very grateful to be able to say that I had a small part in that before I moved out to Atlanta. So I'm grateful.
That's good. I absolutely love Devon's work. And you can see what he's instilling, even when you like see little clips on Instagram and everything about the messages that he's pouring out into people. It's just so inspiring to see, and we need that in the community overall, because it's a lack of that. You need people who are encouraging, who are pouring knowledge into these dancers, because, you know, people have a goal to book. And even if that's not your goal, people still want to learn things. And it's important that when you're investing your time into other choreographers or in mentorship programs, that you're gaining something from it other than dance, because it's more than that.
Right. I always say, and I learned this from him, it's deeper than dance. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's I'm very spiritual, and I've gone through a spiritual journey. But when it comes to like my position in dance and learning and stretching myself, mm-hmm. I always have to put God first within it, because without Absolutely. Him, I can never get anywhere. So that's why I always speak out loud how grateful I am for how far I've gotten with dance and mm-hmm. the opportunities that I've branched out to within dance too. So it's deeper, and you always have to know your why within it. Why is it deeper? What makes it deeper? Do you really love it? Or do you really have a passion for this field within itself? And those were questions that I really had to sit down and answer myself.
Exactly. And you have to stay rooted in that. to understand your why, just like you said, because it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get swallowed up in the industry. But if you remain true to who you are and remain true to your reasons for wanting to pursue the career in the first place, it will take you further than you could ever imagine.
Yes, come on.
Yeah. So you said earlier that a few people from Kalamazoo moved to New York, LA, Atlanta. What made you choose to, you're in Atlanta, correct?
Correct.
So yes. What made you choose Atlanta out of the different places to go?
Oh, well, for one, it was the cheapest. At the time, it was the cheapest.
But no, it was, for sure.
Outside of that, I have family down here, and we would always travel down here for family reunions. And my mother would always, like, my mother and I would always say, like, there's so many people that look like us down here. Mm-hmm. And I come from a very diverse city, and I always wanted to be surrounded by more people that look like me, that are excelling in their fields, whether it's finance, dance, whatever. So I would always see that coming down here, and that's what really made me want to move down here. And I knew that the dance central areas were either New York, LA, or Atlanta. But mm-hmm. it was always something about Atlanta that just pulled me towards it. It was just something so authentic about Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And everyone is able to showcase their natural talent here. And I knew that this is where I needed to be, because every time I would visit, I was like, I don't want to leave. It's something right. about it that just makes me want to be able to say, like, I live here. This is my city. And now I can claim it as my city. So
period.
I love
and
it.
How long, how long have you been in Atlanta now?
I've been here for 4 years now. I moved here October of 2020. So kind of like towards like mid COVID-ish, but mm-hmm. I've been here ever since, and I love it. I don't see myself leaving anytime soon. But if I am leaving, I know it's for the right reasons and for the right opportunities. So
awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about how your experience in Atlanta has been?
I really have enjoyed it. Let me backtrack. A lot of people have this idea that Atlanta is, they have such a negative connotation towards it mm-hmm. now. But when I first moved here, there was so much growth and so much that could be brought into the city that the city hasn't really experienced. And the dance community, in my opinion, has brought that new experience to Atlanta. Everything is music and dance rooted. And especially since we've gotten to the year 2024, we are all able to see that.
Yes.
And so my experience here has captured all of that, and I've really been able to see the beauty within the city itself. Even taking myself outside of the field for a few months to really figure out life and realize what life is actually like in this city. And mm-hmm. honestly, it's a beautiful city. I would recommend anybody to move here, to visit, to spend time here. And I mean, I can't really say anything else. Atlanta is Atlanta. When you're here, you just know, you just feel it. I mean, I'm yeah. sure you could relate to it.
Yeah. Atlanta is definitely a good time, but
we do the most, but it's for a good reason.
No, for sure. For sure. So what has your dance training in Atlanta looked like?
A lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, a lot of sleepless nights, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've trained and I've taken so many classes at Excel, mm-hmm. at Shamika Studios, at Six Studios, so many places within the city. I've tried to put myself into so many places in front of so many sets of eyes to where I could bask in so much knowledge. I've trained with Lyric London, who is like, I call him Papa, that's Father.
Yeah.
He is amazing to me. And I really feel like God kind of connected us together because mm-hmm. in some sort of way, I am a part of him. And I know he sees that within all of his children within the House of London. So that has been what my training has been looking like. And I'm really grateful because he's put us in these positions to stretch ourselves, like we keep saying,
yep.
with the performances, with Club Move, with the visuals that he produces and he puts out there, even from when we are doing the visuals with Britney Spears or with Beyonce or with Christina Aguilera. There's so many, and I've really been able to find myself and my placement within dance with working with him. So a lot of my training, it's funny to look back at now because I've done so much with my time here, and I'm such a big stickler on time.
Exactly.
And how it has evolved and how it has shaped me within my training here in Atlanta.
Yeah, it definitely, like, time is important, especially because it waits for no one, okay?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. And it's definitely of the essence. And one thing that I can say, because I want to piggyback off of Lyric, he is somebody who cares about the dance community.
Yes.
Like, and you can feel that. You can feel his love. And you can see, like, with everybody who gets a chance to experience him, how much he pours into them, how much he supports them when they are out venturing. I see how he supports you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like, he definitely supports his babies. So, shout out to Lyric. I definitely had the pleasure of doing the Lyric London project myself. I call him Pops as well. So, definitely love the support that he gives to everybody. Keep doing what you're doing, Lyric. Keep making an impact out here.
Yes, yes. You got to. We always tell him, like, you can never stop. Like,
yes.
No matter how you feel, and that's for any and everybody, no matter how tough it may get, no matter how many times you may feel like giving up, you cannot stop because it's in you. And I know when something is in you, it's never going to leave because it's always going to find its way back to you. So even with him, he pours so much knowledge in us when it comes to our training, when it comes to our look, when it comes to how we present ourselves. And I think these are gems that we can take throughout life in general, which is why I always stress how grateful I am for him. So many tears to my eyes. I'm gonna start crying.
But yes, that's so beautiful though, for real. How would you say your support system is from your family? Because I know you post about your mom and your sister a lot.
Yes.
So how would you say your support system is from them?
In the beginning, it was rocky. I will say that, because I come from two parents that are very, well, how do we say it in the nicest way? Programmed. So they're only believing in one thing, like get your college degree, get you a job. You need to work that job, make you some good money and live comfortably. Mm-hmm. But I always do like, I feel like there's more to me than just that.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna stretch myself even more. At first it was rocky because they were like, well, what are you going to do? You can't do this full time if you're not bringing in any money. And in the beginning, I wasn't seeing that. So I knew that I had to do both. I had to work and I also had to pursue dance full time.
Mm-hmm.
But as the time has gone and has progressed and I've gained more opportunities, my parents were really able to see, like, okay, this is something that she's really passionate about and she's really taking the time to and putting the time in.
Yeah.
And so they are so supportive. And my parents have supported me in everything, with sports, with everything that I've done in school, both my sister and I. And I don't know where I would be without all three of them, my mom, my dad, and my sister. They keep me going. And my dad always relates everything to life when it comes to me pushing for dance and how great I can be and always giving me ideas on how to be better than I was a year ago. So I love them. The best support system I could ever ask for, honestly.
Yes, and that's super important, especially when we're pursuing our dreams and just pushing forward. Like, it's important to have somebody who's rooting us on. For me, my story is a little different because my parents are older and I grew up in the church.
Okay.
So when, and like you said, our parents are programmed in a bit. So even still to this day, it's kind of hard to get them to understand the lifestyle and get them to understand the industry. So I didn't quite have that support. And it's like they want to understand when they see how happy it makes me. It's like, okay.
Right.
But I don't get it. But okay, I see it. But so it's definitely important. Of course, I got the support from other places. Like, I had my best friends, other family members who see it like, oh, my brother's doing this, my nephew's doing this. So I had the support from other places, but it's nothing like having that firsthand support. So that's definitely beautiful that you had that. So kudos to your family. Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Okay.
Yes. So before we move on into our segment for the day, I do want to take a moment to shout out my sponsor. So as you can see, I'm rocking my 5678 sweatshirt from Kata Co. This is, you can find this on Kata Co shops. So this streetwear is a comfortable streetwear for dancers. I wear it for photo shoots, going to the store, in dance class. Definitely supports the lovers of the arts. You can use my discount code Braven to get 10% off of your order of $25 or more. And make sure you check her out on Instagram at Kata_Co. All right, Brooke. So now it's time to get into our segment for today. This is where the curtains close and the spotlights turn off. Let's get to the point.
Let's do it. I'm excited. That was nice.
All righty. So can you tell us the current job that you're working on?
Yes, so I am currently working with the one, the only, the legendary Tamar Braxton, which honestly...
Okay, make some noise, y'all.
I love it. This is honestly, I would have to say, a gift from God, because at a point in time in my career, I felt like I was being overlooked. I felt like I wasn't getting or going to receive any opportunity. But the moment I auditioned in front of her, which was, it was so scary in the moment, nerve-wracking in the moment, but the connection I've built with Tamar thus far, honestly, I'm so glad that I'm in the position that I'm in, because we've been rocking since, what, 2020, end of 2021, 2022? Yeah. And it's been such an immaculate journey so far. The rooms I've been put in, the people I've met, the opportunities that I've just received just by being underneath her and working with her, and me shadowing her. It's been amazing, honestly. Tay is the best.
Yes. So can you take us through your audition process? Like, how did this even start?
Okay. So this is how it started. I was literally at home scrolling through Instagram, watching Netflix, and Zoe, which her name is Zoe Becca, I believe, on Instagram, tagged me in this post from Kiki Eli that said that we are looking for dancers that can sing and singers that can dance. And I remember she tagged me, my name, and said she can do both. So I was like, what is this? So I clicked the link. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to submit to this, but let me just type in my information and submit to it. So I sent an email over to Kiki Eli. She responded saying, hey, this is an opportunity for singers that can dance, dancers that can sing. We want you to submit an audition tape of you singing the national anthem by Destiny's Child at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
A cappella. You can either choose to sing, you can pick whichever harmony you want to sing. And that was it. So I kind of waited. They were telling me like the deadline is at 5 o'clock on a Sunday. And at that time, I think I picked it up and like submitted my information around like 4. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this, but whatever. So I waited until like 4:45 to actually start filming myself and submitting it. I quickly did my makeup. I quickly did a light beat. I curled my hair.
Period, light beat.
In like 5-10 minutes. I literally only had like 10 minutes to film myself. I already knew which harmony I wanted to sing. I've watched that Super Bowl performance so many times. It's so legendary. So I knew I wanted to switch off between Beyonce and Kelly's vocals. And that's exactly what I did. I submitted that. And then we had to also submit a video of us singing and dancing. Did that. Got a call back saying, this is for so-and-so. They want to see you at here. They also had Kim Burse, who is a legendary musical director, producer, messaged me saying that we were very impressed with your audition and we would like to see you at this day, this time. Went in there, auditioned with two other beautiful ladies. They were amazingly talented. And when I tell y'all, I was so nervous because I thought we were just going to go in there and dance in front of Tamar. The first thing we had to do was go in there and sing in front of her and her entire team.
Wow.
At that time, I didn't know any of the team members, but I was like, just go and sing and just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And obviously she was very pleased. Like she was smiling the entire time. And she's like, oh my God, you sing soprano and you sing alto. Like you sing all three. And I was like, yes, I do. And from there, I want to say maybe 10 minutes later, they decided who they wanted and they ended up choosing me. And For a few of the shows, Jayla and I, we were able to sing, and the rest of the shows, we did dancing. So I am
extremely So initially, with the first submission, you didn't know that it was Tamar until they told you, hey, this person wants to see you here.
Yes,
How did that make you feel?
Honestly, in the moment, I was like, I didn't have any feelings. I didn't know how to feel. Yeah. Like, I grew up listening to Tamar. I grew up listening to her sister, Toni. So for me, it was like, this is a surreal moment. I remember being in high school, walking around singing, do you love the way I do when I love you? Like, just walking around the hallway, singing her and Future's new song, Let Me Know. And that was like, everything is so full circle.
Yes.
So it didn't feel surreal to me at that moment. But when I got in that rehearsal space and I was able to just connect with her, because she was able to showcase her true self right off the bat, it was like, okay, this is meant. So.
Yes. So that's your homegirl.
That's the homegirl. Period. She doesn't like nobody calling her auntie, so we got to call her sis.
Period. So I do want to take a moment to talk about a couple of highlights. So for you, what would be your most memorable experience from this tour, from touring with Tamar this far?
Ooh, I would have to say the very first show and also performing at the Brooklyn Nets Arena. The very first show, that was my very first time performing with her and also singing on the mic. And to be able to sing in front of an arena full of 10,000 or more people, my little voice being on that stage, it was crazy. I was so grateful, so grateful. And then also being able to perform in New York at the Brooklyn Nets arena. I'm also a big basketball fan at heart. So it was kind of just like so surreal, like one step towards Madison Square Garden. So that's how I viewed it. But those two moments were very memorable for me. And whenever I am asked that question, that's the main two that I always give, because it was such like a staple within my journey.
That's awesome. What's your favorite part about dancing with Tamar? Or dancing and singing, because you do both. So performing, I'm going to say performing with Tamar.
There's nothing like being on the stage. I just think that I love it so much. I have such a passion so much for performing, period. That regardless if I'm singing on one show, doing both, or just dancing, I'm doing what I love to do at the end of the day. So for me, it's just being on that stage and just showcasing what God has blessed me with. I've always just been like in awe in that moment. It's especially just like before going on stage, the adrenaline, the nerves, hearing the stage rumble, hearing the crowd scream. It just does something to me. And I'm just able to bring out this alter ego that I have no idea how it transforms, but I'm just, that's what it is for me. I just love being on that stage. It's like home.
Definitely, when I go back to look at the clips, you definitely look like you're having a blast.
Yes.
And that's important. Yeah, you got to show yourself. You got to show your passion on that stage so people can feel something. Because if you're just up there dancing, it's just steps. But if nobody is feeling what you're doing, it's not believable. I want to be able to see the dancers on stage and believe what's happening.
Exactly.
Yes. So do you have like any pre-show rituals? Like how do you prepare for a show physically and mentally?
Well, before each show, okay, so I have to make sure I drink a bottle of kombucha before each show, but I'll do it like I'll prep myself like three, four hours before so that it just sets in and I like have to de-bloat and everything.
Okay. Because I'm like, kombucha before a show? Hold on.
Kombucha before a show gets you right, okay?
Okay.
And then I would have to say, I have to sit in front of the mirror while I'm doing my makeup and I have to sing to calm my nerves down. It doesn't matter what it is that I sing. I always find something to sing to calm my nerves. And that's pretty much it. Like, I'll do that. I'll sing, I'll drink my kombucha, and then I always pray. I always pray to both of my grandfathers and my grandmother to make sure that they're watching over me while I'm on stage and they're giving me the strength that I need to use what God gave me. And it works every time.
Yes, I love that. I definitely love that. How has being a part of this tour impacted your career as a dancer?
It has opened up many opportunities for so many different things. I've always been grateful just to be in this position, but I've always wanted to water other things. So with that, I've been able to meet other band members, other producers, other artists. And I was able to meet Tiffany Evans, who's actually a legend. I was also able to meet Tank and a few of his band members. And from there, I've been able to network and utilize my resources for the music that I'm working on. And I think the more that you're put in the rooms, the more it stretches who you are as a person. So that way you are not just one dimensional. And that's so important for me, because when I'm stepping in these rooms and given this opportunity to step in the room with Tamar and her team, I'm able to showcase who I am as not just being a dancer, but being a triple threat is what I like to call it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's definitely important, because especially earlier you said you act, you sing, you voice act, you dance. That's going to put you in so many different rooms for sure.
Yes.
So what skills or lessons would you say that you have gained from this experience?
To really be disciplined. And knowing that, like, if you really want something, you have to work at it each and every day. The discipline, the rehearsing, the watering, I always speak those three. Discipline, rehearsing, and watering. Whether I'm rehearsing the dance that we've done countless amount of times on stage, but making sure I can elevate and add something to it each time we perform.
Absolutely.
Rehearsing outside of my time with working with her, and then also with my training as well. Keeping myself disciplined by working out, staying healthy, and keeping my look in the box that I wanted it to be in. And I think with those three, I've been able to market myself the best way possible, but there's always room for more and room for improvement. So those three, I'm really highlighting those right now and focusing on that.
Okay, that's awesome. So what are your goals after Tamar ends?
Honestly, I really hope that I'm able to still work with Tamar, but also whatever gig I'm able to get, a dancing gig I'm able to get outside of Tamar, with whether it's in the music industry or not. But I am putting out there that I will be putting out an EP soon. So with my music, yes, that's something that I'm really working towards.
Yes.
And then also getting more into acting and being able to utilize that voice acting talent that I have.
So how do you plan on using your experience from this tour for your future career, for your future endeavors as an actor, actress, a singer? We gonna speak that into existence, because that EP is gonna do numbers, okay?
It's gonna do numbers.
Yes, okay. But how do you plan to use this experience towards all of your future endeavors?
Networking. That is the only way nowadays that you're gonna be able to reach what it is that you want. Networking and consistency. When people see those two things, they have no choice but to approach you. They have no choice but to, they see it on you. You exude it. It's your aura. So for me, when I'm not with Tamar or when I'm not performing, I'm in the lab working, whether that's dancing in rehearsal, writing music, developing my voice and stretching my tone for voice acting. So with that, when I'm on these tours and I'm on these shows and I'm introduced to certain people, networking from there and seeing what that leads to, and just always putting my content out there. You have to be consistent. You have to be disciplined.
Yes, content is important. That's something that I actually struggle with, because I don't like posting, but I know that I have to, because Instagram is it right now. Social media is it right now. So it's like, I'm like, oh, I got to post today. But one thing that does help me with that is scheduling the post.
Because if
I schedule them, then I don't have to worry about, oh, I got to make this post. I can go ahead and have it set up. That has definitely helped me get better at it. But I definitely agree with that. Like, get that content up, no matter what it is that you do. And also make sure on your social media that it's clear with what you want to do. You don't want to saturate it with too much, because if you're promoting yourself as a triple threat, that's what it needs to be. We don't want to see you shopping. We don't want to see you dog sitting. We want to see what you, we want to see you showcasing that talent. So that's definitely important as far as getting that content.
Yeah, and I'm working at that too, because there are times where I can be lazy and I'm like, oh, I don't have nothing to post today. I didn't schedule accordingly. But making sure that it's so clear what you guys see when you are coming on to my Instagram page.
Exactly.
So at first, I used to get in my head and be like, well, they're seeing so many different things. But the more I'm consistent with it, y'all are able to like narrow down. Okay, she does this, this, and this.
Exactly.
This is how she's marketing herself. So yes, it's all about marketing. And that's what I studied in college. So like everything, literally, I always say my life is like a foreshadowing movie. Everything is full circle.
Yes. And I don't know if you knew this, but I actually went to school for broadcasting as well. But my focus was general broadcasting. And then I did my master's in public relations.
Okay. So, yes. See? Well, look at you now. Like, what?
Exactly. Full circle. Because I never, you know what's funny about it, though? I never wanted to like be on camera or be on the mic. I didn't think I had the voice for it. Always had the personality, but for me, I wanted my name on it. I wanted to be that producer. I wanted to be the person behind the scenes. So yeah, it's definitely been a full circle moment for me as well, but it's something that I've been finding a passion in, especially because I absolutely love the art of dance. And especially for this, there's not an outlet like this. So I wanted to find a way where I could use my voice to give people their flowers, to recognize people who are up and coming, to recognize people who are at the peak of their careers that's still not getting the recognition that they deserve. You know, so I'm hoping that this platform is definitely going to bring the unity into the dance community. So
I think definitely a full circle moment.
Thank you.
The community needs this, and I'm so glad you're taking the initiative to do this. So
thank you. I appreciate
this,
that.
Keep putting this out there. Like 5, 6, 7, 8 is it.
Period. Yes. Thank you. So do you have any advice for someone who may be trying to find their way, or who wants to book a tour with a major artist, or who wants to sing, act, do voice acting? Do you have any final words of wisdom or advice for people who may be listening and watching?
Continue to be consistent.
Okay.
Not forcing anything and letting it find you. Once you put out there what it is that you want, when you're showcasing it visually and when you're speaking it, God is going to do the work, but you also have to meet him halfway. I always say, be consistent, speak what you want and work towards it. And know that everybody has their own lane. Because we can get so caught up in social media thinking that like, dang, well, everybody's dancing for Lotto. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing that. But
what are you doing?
But what are you doing? And Lotto may not be the one for you. Maybe your lane is R&B. Maybe your lane is pop. You don't know. So you have to consistently focus on you. Be disciplined with your consistency in your content, in your training. And know that the more you put in full-time work, you'll get your full-time results.
Yes. Thank you for that, Brooke. Can you tell everyone where they can find you on social media platforms?
You guys can find me at _ Brooklyn Janae. That's _ BROOKLYN Janae, JANAY.
Well, thank you for coming. That concludes this episode of N5678, the podcast. It's your boy, Vibes by Bray. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray and stay updated at N5678 for all of our latest episodes and other updates. And this is your daily reminder to always, always, always remember to dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never gonna hurt. Once again, shout out to Kata Coast Streetwear for dancers, Rager Worldwide LLC, and Felicity Digital Lab. Until next time.